confession over the word. This is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Are y'all there yet? Amen, amen, amen. Some feedback right there. I think I know where it's coming from. Yep, that's what I thought. Amen, I'm not there yet. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law of the flesh. Amen. This is part two of a message we started last week called Spirit Over Flesh. If you were not here last week, if you want to get a copy of the CD, you can. Amen. It's free of charge. We do not charge money for anything here at Word of Knowledge Ministries. And this is part two of Spirit Over the Flesh. And we see here that the Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians at Galatia. And he's telling them how to, number one, keep themselves from falling back into sin. And number two, how to keep themselves from falling back into the same bondage that Jesus Christ delivered them out of. Are you all still with me? He told them in order to do that, he tells them that they should be led by the Spirit. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I like to put it into parentheses, of the flesh. And the reason why, if they'll be led by the Spirit, they are not under the law or control of the flesh, is because the Holy Spirit will not allow them to be. Are you all still with me? And as I say many, many times before, although Paul is talking to the Christians at Galatia, although we were not at Galatia, at least I was not there. I don't know, you might have been there, amen. But although we were not in Galatia, the word of God is talking to us also. Amen? So he's telling us to walk or live in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. Amen. I told you last week, if you remember, that you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. One of the biggest problems with a lot of people, Christians, is that they do not realize that we are spirits who that possess souls that live in a body. And the reason why that we are that is because the Bible tells us that God made us in his image after his likeness. And John 4:24 tells us that God is a what? Spirit. Are you all still with me? So you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in the body. And last week I provided you with scripture to support that. Okay, amen. As I said before, if you were not here, we can make you a CD. It's free of charge. But and this message is also on our webpage, amen. You can go there and listen to it as well, amen. So, but you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. And I told you last week that the word spirit means pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And I mentioned to you that in the word of God, when you see the word spirit, the word pneuma could be talking about the Holy Spirit or your newborn again spirit. Y'all still with me? And I'm also mentioned that the word flesh is sarx, S-A-R-X. And it could be talking about the flesh, your body, you know, the house that your spirit lives in. Or it could be talking about the nature, okay, absent from the, in, or let me say it this way, the nature absent from divine influence. In other words, the nature that you had before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that sometimes still try to creep back up on us. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Amen. So because of that, because of the definition of those words, I mentioned to you last week that theologians have a, they differ as to what verse number 16 is saying. Verse 17 is saying. Because I mentioned to you that verse 16 is talking about the Holy Spirit, no doubt. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then I mentioned to you that verse 17, theologians differ on what 17 is talking about because of the definitions of the word. Because the Bible says, for the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And I mentioned to you that the Holy Spirit is not in conflict with your body because God gave you your body. Amen. But the Holy Spirit is in conflict with that sin or the nature of sin that the body is capable of carrying out if we do not present it a living sacrifice. Are you all still with me? Amen. So, but your spirit is in conflict with your body because the body wants to lead because of following the commands from an unrenewed mind, okay? The body wants to take control of you because it takes command from an unrenewed mind. That's why the Bible tells us to renew the mind. But the spirit wants to lead because God wants us to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Just a quick overview, amen, for those of who were not here, amen. So regardless of the difference of opinions that they have in verse number 17, verse 18 is talking again about the Holy Spirit. It says, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law or control of the flesh, if you be led by the Spirit. Now notice the Bible says, if you be led by the Spirit. Okay? If, because it's a choice that we make, you know. But if we do not be led by the Spirit, we will be controlled by the law of the flesh. Okay? We will be controlled. Why? Because as I said before, the flesh receives commands from the mind. The body receives commands from the mind. And that body sometimes want to carry out that nature. Okay? Still talking about sarx. Okay? The flesh. You know, those desires that we once had. Are you all still with me? And the only way that we can avoid that is that we must be led by, number one, you, the real you, the Spirit, and your spirit must line up with the Holy Spirit. But the only way your spirit can line up with the Holy Spirit is that you must get your spirit, the real you, in the proper, in the respective place. Are y'all still with me? That's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. After it tells us to present our body, it never tells us to do anything with the Spirit, because once we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive a brand new spirit. Are you all still with me? But the mind still wants to control, which is, I like to say it this way, an element of the soul. Because as I mentioned, you are a spirit. You possess a soul, will, emotions, desire, personalities, and your mind. And you live in a body. Are you all still with me? Amen. Any questions? Amen. Amen. I know you don't have any questions. Amen. I want you to go to Romans chapter 7 because I want you to read what Paul is saying here about the flesh. And in Romans chapter 7, he's pretty much talking about the spirit, the soul, and the body, or the mind. Amen. Romans chapter 7. Amen. If you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the control of the law of the flesh. Romans chapter 7. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. In Romans chapter 7, if you look at verse number, If you look at verse number, I want to mention two verses, and then I want to go to 18. But I want to mention verse number 4, because the Apostle Paul here is talking to Christians here at Rome, and he says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are," I'm reading verse 4, "you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth what? Fruit unto God." Fruit unto God. Amen. And then he says in verse 6, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in what? Newness of what? Spirit." And what they're saying to us is, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not the same person who you used to be. The Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you. Amen. Newness of spirit. You're not the same person. I mentioned many times, that's when the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I mentioned before that old things that are passed away are things in the spirit before you got saved. But now, since you have been saved, now the new thing, you have newness of spirit. Now that you have a newness of spirit, you are capable of being led by the Spirit. Because before you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you could not be led by the Spirit. Because we all had the sin nature. That's why in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they couldn't even do right, even if they wanted to. Because they were spiritually separated from God because of Adam and Eve's sin. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus had to come to fix what Adam messed up. And that's why the Bible tells us, I've mentioned before, that now the Bible tells us we must be born again. Nicodemus said, "How can I go back to my mother's womb?" Jesus said, "No, that's not what I'm talking about, buddy." Amen. We must be born a spiritual birth. And we have been born a spiritual birth. But also, although we have been born a spiritual birth, guess what? We still have to deal with the flesh, and we have to deal with the soul. I like to say the mind. Are you all still with me? And this is what Paul is talking about here. I want you to go all the way over to verse number 18. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Do y'all see that? I think the NIV said no good. He says, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." In other words, he says, I have the desire to do the right thing. He said, but because of what's in me, he said, I can't do it. Are y'all still with me? He said, I can't do it. And then he says here in verse number 19, "For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." He said, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more. If I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Inward man. Can you pull that series of scripture up for me in the NIV? It's the next one. I want us to see it in the NIV. Amen. Put Romans 8:7-18. I want to read it in NIV. This is what he's saying here. He says, I think y'all can see it, right? Amen. Yeah. He says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature." Y'all see that? He said, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Okay? "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do." Y'all still with me? I believe every Christian has the desire to do the right thing. Are y'all still with me? But there's a conflict. There's a conflict. That's why the Bible tells us if we are led by the Spirit. Amen? That's the importance of being led by the Spirit. You know, your new born again spirit and the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you why in a minute. He said, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Do y'all see that? Verse 20 says, now I do what I do not want to do. It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Sin can take control of your body if we allow it to. Then he says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. He said, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. For in my inner being, he's talking about the inner man, okay? He's talking about the spirit, okay? The real you, you know? He said, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Do y'all see that? He said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me? And then he says, thanks be to who? Thanks be to who? Thanks be to God who delivers me through who? So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Paul said, listen, I want to do the right thing, like most Christians. But the only way that I can do what's right is I must use who Jesus sent back to lead me and to guide me into all truth. And the one that Jesus sent back to lead me and guide me into all truth is the Holy Spirit. So I must be led by the Spirit. Because if I'm led by the Spirit, I am not under the law or control or being controlled by the desires of that sinful nature. Are y'all still with me? And then in Romans 8, I've been having a little sinus lately. I'm fine. I don't have COVID-19. I just have a little sinus. And you all are long ways from me. Amen, amen. So you're safe. Amen. And then in chapter 8, he even clears it up even more. Look at verse number 1. I know everything is COVID-19 these days. Amen. But you must be aware of COVID-19. Amen. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them. Do y'all see that? Which are in who? Christ Jesus, who walked not after the what? Flesh, but after the what? Spirit, capital letters. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you all see that? In other words, because of Jesus, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back to lead me and guide me into all truth, I no longer have to be controlled by my flesh or the sin nature. I no longer have to be controlled by my mind. All I have to do is just follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came to lead and guide me to all truth. And as long as I follow the Holy Spirit will always lead me down the path of righteousness. Are you all still with me? Because that's the only thing that the Holy Spirit knows. Amen? You know, in John chapter 8, verse 31, there's a verse there that's very familiar to many of us. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he said, these things shall follow those who, I mean, not those things. He said he was talking to the Jews that believed on him. He said, if you continue in my word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you all familiar with that verse? Amen. What Jesus is actually saying here, I believe, Ron chapter 3, verse 22, is this. If you continue in the word, because the more you continue in the word of God, you get stronger spiritually. Are you all still with me? He said, and when the spirit gets stronger, it's easier for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. Once again, if I continue in the word of God, my spirit gets stronger. And the stronger my spirit gets, it's easier for me to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will lead me to the truth. Why? Because the Bible says he is the Spirit of truth. And when the Holy Spirit leads me to the truth, that means that now I know the truth because the Holy Spirit led me to it. Okay? I know it because he led me to it because he is the Spirit of truth. And as when the Holy Spirit leads me to the Spirit of truth, and the truth shall make me free, in other words, I will no longer be controlled by that sin nature. Why? Because I continue in the word. Well, what am I trying to get you to see? Well, what I'm trying to get you to see is the last thing. It's the same thing I tried to get you to see last week, is the fact that the only way that we will be able to be led by the Spirit, once again, is that we must get our spirit in its proper place, spirit, soul, and body. Not soul, body, and spirit. Not soul, spirit, and body. But spirit, soul, and body, because that's what we are. And when I get my spirit in place, because I've been feeding it, okay? I've been feeding it spiritual food. Now it's easier for me to be led by the Holy Spirit. The problem with a lot of Christians is that we do not feed our spirit. We feed the flesh every day. Isn't it amazing that sometimes we say, I'm hungry? I mean, if the flesh gets hungry, don't we think the spirit get hungry also? But see, if I'm not led by the spirit, I won't pay any attention to the spirit. But I'm hungry. I got to go get this Big Mac. Have you ever heard anyone say, I'm hungry, I got to go get into the word? People don't talk like that. Why? Because they're natural focused. My stomach hurting. Don't you know that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 20 that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly? I'll show you the scripture later on. Well, if your physical belly get hungry, don't you think your spiritual belly get hungry also? So the only way I would be able to be led by the Holy Spirit, I must strengthen my spirit. And I mentioned to you, the only way that we can do that is through the word of God. Through the word of God. Because the word has spiritual nourishments for every nourishment that our spirit needs. That's why, as Christians, this is the book of life. I must spend time in it. If I do not spend time in the word, listen to this. If I do not spend time with the written word, the spoken word, and the word made flesh, Jesus, my spirit will not get strong. I gave you an example last week before we left. I said, if you had two dogs, one green, excuse me, one green, one blue, you feed the blue dog, don't feed the green dog, who's going to get stronger? The blue dog. No difference with the spirit in the body. No different. Are y'all still with me? I must feed my spirit, spiritual food, And the best food to feed my spirit is the word of God. I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If I'm not strong enough, I will not be able to be led by the spirit. My flesh and my mind will always control me. And a lot of people are being controlled by their flesh and their mind. And I'm talking about Christians. On the outside, they say they got it going on. But on the inside, they messed up. And that's why Satan keep putting these knots, spiritual knots, on people's heads. Are y'all still with me? And that's what happened in 2021. People forgot where they get their strength from. They forgot to look to the hills. We're not going to make that mistake in 2022, are we? In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua took over from Moses. And God is speaking to Joshua here. He told Joshua here in verse number 6, he told him to be strong and of good courage. For until this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land. In other words, Joshua, you're in charge now. You've replaced Moses. He says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, so that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. He said, don't turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. I'm reading verse 7. And thou mayest prosper wherever you go. And then he told him something that's very, very important. I mean, we know everything God says is important. But he highlighted some things here. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it every now and then. Do y'all see that? Thou shalt meditate in it after you finish doing everything else you need to do. It doesn't say that. Greg, your Bible say that. Thou shalt meditate in it day and night, so that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, all therein. He says, for then, see, if I was you, I would highlight for then in my Bible. Because for then set the stage for the whole chapter. He says, for then, after you meditate in the day and night and observe to do all that is written in it, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good what? Success. Well, Pastor, how is he going to have more success? Well, let me tell you how he's going to have more success. Because the more word that he gets on the inside of him, the more word he gets on the inside of him, the stronger he will become spiritually. And when he faces those obstacles, those speed bumps, if you will, those situations out in the world, because his spirit is stronger, okay? Because his spirit is stronger because of the word, not because his name is Joshua, not because his name is Philip or whatever, because of the word. Y'all still with me? Because of the word, he gets stronger and it's more easier for him to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will lead him and us to places of prosperity. And I'm not just talking about money, okay? And places where we would have great success, although Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, as long as we continue to stay in the Word, Satan cannot stop the success that God has in place for us. He can't stop it. But we have to get into the Word. We have to eat some spiritual food. It's right here. And as I mentioned before, many people want to eat all the time. But they don't eat spiritual food. They go out there and eat their stuff out there. I've mentioned many times in the secular world, you all know this, there's an old saying that you are what you eat. If you eat junk, what does that mean? I didn't call you junk. I didn't say that. I have to feed the spirit. I want you to go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John 6. Talking about being led by the Spirit. Your real you, your new born again spirit, and then the Holy Spirit. John 6. In John chapter 6, we find Jesus doing Jesus things. The Bible says he would, you know, the great multitude followed him. He'd already fed people that were hungry. How many of you know when you feed people that are hungry, man, they're always around you? Like those birds, we putting our dog food all over. Birds keep coming to eat my dog food. I said to myself, if I had my BB gun like I used to have when I was a little kid, amen, stop right there. Back to the Word. So Jesus had fed some people, some regular food, you know, flesh food. Amen? The Bible tells us in verse 17, he entered a ship, went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come with them. Talking about the disciples. People were looking for Jesus. They didn't see him. They couldn't find him. All the way to verse 24. John 6, verse 24. The Bible says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. Can you pull up? Yeah, have them pull up 624, please. They also took shipping and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. People looking for Jesus. Now, Jesus had just fed these people not too long ago. I don't know if it was they were still hungry. Because, you know, people always want to be in their position to receive, but they don't like to give. Are y'all still with me? So they're looking for Jesus for some reason. Now we know that God knows everything. So Jesus knew exactly why they were looking for him. So the Bible says here, verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, where you been? We've been looking for you. We didn't see you, Jesus, so we started to get worried. Jesus said, verily I say to you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and you were filled. I mean, you're not seeking me because you want to serve me. You want to see what else I can give you. Because a lot of people don't even pray to God until they want something. Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, all of a sudden we want to throw the Jesus name out there. Your word says, anything I ask in Jesus' name, you will give it to me. Just praying, just acknowledging him. Lord, we love you this today. We praise you. We lift you up. There's no one like you. God, I don't want anything this time. I just want to just reverence you. and lift you up for who you are. See, because the Holy Spirit will always lead us to praise and worship God. But these people in the flesh, they want some more bread. Are you all still with me? He said in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perished, but for the meat which endureth into what? Ever. Verse 27, I'm reading. Everlasting life. Once again, labor not for the meat which perished, but for that meat which endureth into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then Jesus is trying to give them some spiritual truths. Now, we know that in this situation, Jesus has not been resurrected yet, so he has not sent the Holy Spirit back yet. So he's giving them some spiritual truth, but although the Holy Spirit had not come back, they should at least, see, sometimes you need to take time to think about what a person says. When people speak, people want to respond right away. If they had just took time to think about what he said, they probably would have said, Jesus, what do you mean by that? Excuse me. Woo. But what they did, they started, once again, thinking about the flesh. Pastor, how can you say that? Well, look at verse 31. He said, our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're talking about bread. Something to feed the flesh. And then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not bread from heaven, but my Father giving you the true bread from heaven. See, they don't even know where they got the bread from. They didn't care. They just wanted to eat. They don't care where it came from. Then Jesus said unto them, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of what? Life. If Jesus Christ is the bread of life, that means that I need to eat the word. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the word. But wait a minute. Because I said a few minutes ago, Jesus is the word made flesh. So not only must I spend time with Jesus, I must spend time with the written word, and I must spend time with the spoken word, because the word is the word. Because listen to this, if I spend time with the written word and the spoken word, I'm also spending time with the flesh word, Jesus, because we can't separate Jesus from the word. Are you all still with me? Talking about spiritual food. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are what? Life. So if the word is spirit, or Jesus' words are spirit, that means that when I eat or spend time hearing the word and studying the word, that means that I am eating spiritual food. And the more spiritual food I eat, the stronger my spirit becomes. And the stronger my spirit becomes, it makes it much more easy for me to follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned to you in 2022, we need to get to know the Holy Spirit better than we know him. Because it's much more to the Holy Spirit than coming down like a dove. See, sometimes people put a picture of a bird on their wall, they say it's the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's a picture of a bird. My house is covered with the bird. The Holy Spirit is much more than that. He is the third person of the Trinity. And that should tell us how much God loves us to send the third person of the Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, to lead us and guide us into all truth. I mean, what more do we need? You know, many people know that the Bible says that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. They know that, but they don't really know what that means. Don't you know that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us for a reason? You know, we saw a scripture last week. I talked about a scripture last week. When Saul got fired as the king, And God told him to go to Jesse's house. Y'all remember that? And they wanted to make David's brother the king because he was tall and good looking like Saul. And Samuel said, yeah, that guy right there, he's probably it. God said, I don't want him. He says that man looks at He said, but God said, I look at the what? Or the inside. See. Christian, you can catch this. If God lives on the inside and your spirit is on the inside of your body, that means God is concerned about the spirit. Getting stronger. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to live on the inside. You ever thought about that? The inside. Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because your spirit is inside your body. And the Holy Spirit is the one that works with your spirit. Romans 8 tells us that. He testifies with your spirit that you are children of God. See. Not only that, I mentioned that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. See? Because God knows if we can get the inside right, the outside's going to follow along. Because they don't have any choice. That's why the Holy Spirit's not working with your flesh. He's working with your spirit. Because that's what we are. And I mentioned that your spirit will never cease to exist. And I also told you that wherever your spirit goes, your soul goes. Are y'all still with me? So that's one of the reasons why he's on the inside. To lead us from the inside. Because if we live from the inside, the outside has to follow. Pastor, he doesn't care about the outside? Yeah, of course God cares about the outside. Because what is this? God Almighty, what you do on the outside can influence your spirit on the inside. Now, that don't make any sense. I know it don't. But it makes faith. So God has given us something to work. Let me say it this way. God has given us something to use on the outside that will influence what's happening on the inside. But Pastor, what is he giving me? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Go to the 119th Psalm. Are you all still with me? Just taking it easy today. 119th Psalm. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Where's the 119th Psalm? Are y'all already there? Are you the verse I told you to go to? No. Well, let's look at verse 11. Let's see what it says. It might be something there. Let's see that. Well, you're very close. You're very close. Look at what the Bible says in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Do y'all see that? But I want you to go over to Psalm 119, 105. King David says here. He says, thy word is a what? Lamp unto my what? Feet. Where are your feet? Are they inside you or outside you? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a what? Light unto my what? Path. Think about that. Thy word is a light unto my feet. A lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Why do we need a light on our feet? Let me ask you another question. Why do we need a light into our path? So you can see where you're going. Because the flesh is not only the house for your spirit. The flesh is also, I like to say, a vehicle for sin. Now, the Bible says the word is a lamp light to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That means that with the Holy Spirit being on the inside, the candle is lit on the inside, and plus I can see where I'm going on the outside in this world because of the Word of God. So when the Bible says that Jesus Christ delivered us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that means we have light on the inside and outside. Now listen to this. This is the problem. The inside light is always burning because the Holy Spirit is in there. But how many of you know sometimes, although the outside light is always burning. We don't always follow it. We take a different path. We go to the path of darkness. Why? Because the light that's on the outside, the lamp that's on this outside, is the Word of God. And if I don't spend any time in it, if I don't use the light by hearing it, by studying it, I'm going to end up, although the Holy Spirit's on the inside of me, telling me, don't go that way. Don't do that. Your own spirit, the real you, is saying, like Paul says, I want to do the right thing. I want to make the right decision. But because we're not following the light or the lamp that God has given us to go down the right path, we end up wrong path. And what we have done is that we have allowed the flesh to lead the spirit, the real you, instead of allowing the spirit to lead the flesh. That's why people get in trouble. That's why we have to spend time in the Word of God. It's not an option. Because when we spend time in the Word of God, I've said it already, our spirits get stronger and it's more easier for us to follow the Holy Spirit. And when we follow the Holy Spirit, we will get to know Him better, and we will see some of the many things that He do for us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit does a lot of things for us. Are y'all still with me? Go to Romans 8. He do a lot of things for us. Back to Romans 8. I'm almost done. So I know I'm taking my time today. I'm not running around doing flips like I normally do. Are y'all getting this? Sound like Little Richard, didn't I? I must be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Well, let's go back up to verse 1. It says, therefore, let me slow down, Pastor. Are you all there yet? There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes people read that verse and they stop right there. Ain't no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. But there is a condition. And we cannot miss the condition. There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's before salvation. We're free from it now. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the who? The Spirit. Amen. Talking about the Spirit. Go all the way down to verse number 13. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I got to read it one more time. Do y'all see that? It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the who? There the Holy Spirit is again. He plays a very important role in our life. For if you live after the flesh, you should die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. The only way that we can mortify the deeds of the body is that we must be led by the Holy Spirit. There it is again. You shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Notice one word, spirit, is small letter. One is capital letter. Okay? The small letter spirit is talking about the spirit you had before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You were in bondage. Spiritual bondage. So that's why you had to be born again. Once again, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Holy Spirit on the inside. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, we didn't go there. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Your spirit, the real you, is where? On the inside. Holy Spirit's telling you, don't do that. You're a child of God. No, you can't do that. Just follow me. Just stick with me, you'll be all right. Can't do that. You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of that. Because sometimes we forget. Why? Because we're focusing on the world instead of the Spirit of God. And then the Bible talk about if children, you're joint heirs with Christ. But I want you to go down to verse number 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Do y'all see that? The word infirmities means weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do y'all see that? That's what the Spirit's doing for us. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. And we're going to talk about very soon the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We're going to talk about that. But the focus is on the Spirit. Are y'all still with me? He does a lot for us. I mentioned to you before that sometimes, you know, you be praying and you don't know what to pray for and you just start saying anything. Just making up stuff. People in general, not just you. Just making up stuff because they don't know what to say. I went blank. We should never go blank with God. Get to that point. Stop praying in the Spirit. You might not even know what you're saying. And when you're praying in the Spirit, Satan definitely don't know what you're saying. So he can't mess you up. But guess who knows what you're saying? God knows. Because God knows the voice of the Spirit. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen. He says, and he, verse 27, that searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do y'all see that? There's one verse I didn't get to today. Well, let's keep reading. Before I say that. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't you know it's the will of God for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? to be like Jesus. Not to be Jesus, but to be like him. You know how y'all used to say, what would Jesus do? When you used to wear them armbands? And then Christians would do the opposite. Or sometimes they leave the armbands at home. The Holy Spirit has a role here to help us to be as close to Jesus as we can get to. Well, perhaps how can you say that? Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came to lead us to all truth. His role is to help us to conform to the image of Christ. He does many things. Stand to your feet. Christians, I'm here to tell you. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. If it was not for the Holy Spirit, obeying Jesus Christ, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back. Don't you know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you? I know we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's also an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who, I'll say, reunited you back to God. When you accepted Jesus, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you. Holy Spirit is working in, is representing Jesus in your life. That's why there's another verse that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is working on the inside. To help you to affect your outside. But we must follow him. We can't do it ourselves. We saw earlier the Apostle Paul say, although my mind wants to do the right thing, he says, I can't do it. And then he said, thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus not only gave his life, but he also sent back the Holy Spirit. We have to get to know the third person of the Trinity. People talk about God the Father, that's great. We should. People talk about Jesus Christ, we should. But we also have to talk about the Holy Spirit. We can't leave him out. Because he's the third person of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You are a threefold nature. You have a threefold nature. Spirit, soul, and body. People say, I don't like my body. I don't like my flesh. My flesh is old flesh. It's dirty flesh. It's not dirty. It's the only one that you have. That's where your spirit lives. That's why the Bible tells us to present your body, renew your mind, and feed your spirit. You are more than you think you are. Most people think I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Make your mind up. Are you a sinner or are you saved by grace? Because if you might sin, but you're not considered a sinner anymore. You are considered a child of God. And the Bible just told us in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit is witness to that. And it's much more that God have for us. A lot of Christians, we focus Christianity on coming to church. No. We should come to church to learn about what Jesus Christ left us in his will, to learn more about our Heavenly Father, to learn more about Jesus, to learn more about the Holy Spirit. But God is bigger than a church building. I've said many times, God's giving is based on our ability to receive. Be led by the Spirit. Because if you are led by the Spirit, you are not any longer under the control of the flesh. Guess what? or the mind. Amen. Somebody give God a hand, praise, because he's worthy.